This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube page, 94WIP. Check it out there. Subscribe. Ton of great content between the podcast we do, myself and Tucker Bagley. And of course, all our podcasts at WIP are often live or recorded on YouTube, plus segments, openings from the shows on WIP, morning show, midday show, afternoon show. Check it all out, the WIP YouTube page. So I wanted to get into today some thoughts, some theories, some ideas on how to fix the Eagles' offense. And I know you might be saying, like, the offense, it's the defense they got to fix. Well, I don't have any ideas for defense. I don't know if there are any ideas. I don't know if there's anything really at this point Sean Desai can do. I'd blitz a little bit less because I don't think they've been very effective blitzing. But the reality is he doesn't have the players in the back end. He doesn't have the players in the back seven to run an effective defense against really good quarterbacks and even above average quarterbacks. So I think we're at a point where the offense is going to have to carry the day, and this team will go as far as the offense will take them. And the offense right now is choppy. You know, we went over some of the numbers yesterday as you hear the sirens in the background. I think you can hear those sirens in the background as I make my way to WIP today. And those sirens, obviously, hopefully, the person in need is going to be okay. But the sirens also could be a kind of a metaphor for what's going on with this offense, because although it may look okay, and we went over some of the numbers yesterday, it has been generally okay. I mean, their offense is sixth in yards per play, points per game, 11th in yards per play, third in third down conversion percentage, sixth in points per play, 10th in red zone touchdown percentage, 11th in first half points per game, sack percentage 21st. That's not very good. But in general, the offense isn't abysmal, but they are scuffling. They're scuffling early in games, helping to contribute to the holes the Eagles get themselves in. So they need to reimagine something here. It looks stale. It doesn't look like they have it. Here's the best way I'll put it. Emmanuel Acho yesterday, speak for yourself. I believe the show he does over at Fox Sports 1. Emmanuel is interesting. Yeah, obviously former player, and he's very outspoken, articulate. I think there's some stuff he really does that make him unique in the sports media industries. You know, ex-football players that talk about football. I think he's a unique kind of talker. I don't agree with everything he says, but I think he's interesting. And one thing he broke down yesterday was how the Eagles need to find a way to counter the counter, because it is quite obvious now, watching the way the Cowboys rushed the quarterback, that they did listen to Nick Bosa and they took the blueprint. So the blueprint is now out, and it's now at a crossroads period for the Eagles, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, to adjust back to what is happening to them and how defense are playing them. So I've got five ideas here for the Eagles, and we'll go over some of the the numbers and where the Eagles rank and how bad things have been, especially on first down. First down has been really killing the Eagles and putting them in disadvantageous situations for second down, for third down. It's made everything harder. Everything's hard this year for the Eagles offense. Last year, everything felt so easy. And we've been trying to figure out for weeks and weeks how we get back to it being maybe not as hard. But it's hard right now for the Eagles offense to move the football. So here are some theories. And I'll start with number one. I threw this out yesterday on the midday show. I would bring in Frank Reich as an extra pair of eyes, an extra offensive mind in the building, similar to what they did last year with Vic Fangio. And I understand he's been fired from two spots, but I'm not hiring Frank Reich as a head coach. I don't care that Frank Reich is not a very good head coach. This is not germane to me. You know, the idea is, and this has happened across the NFL for decades, it will go on forever, that there are many head coaches who fail. But their expertise on some, whatever side of the ball that's where they came from, can still help teams down the line in a lesser role. I mean, look at Vance Joseph right now with the Broncos. I mean, he literally got fired as the Broncos head coach because he was in over his head as a head coach, and he's helped revive their defense through this season as a coordinator next to Sean Payton, who's clearly the superior head coach to Vance Joseph. I can go to Wade Phillips. I go to Jim Schwartz. We can do this all day. And on the offensive side of the football, there's a lot of these kind of senior offensive assistants. Mike McCoy, Ken Wisenhunt have been these kind of guys. And those are the names that Nick Sirianni kind of grew up around with the San Diego Chargers. You see this all the time. Marty Morningweg. I mean, they went Marty. You know, you want to go to, hey, what could Frank Reich's future be? Marty Morningweg was a joke as a head coach with the Detroit Lions. And then look what he became for Andy Reid as kind of a confidant, another pair of eyes in the offensive room. And that's what I view Frank Reich as. I'm not taking away Brian Johnson's play calling. I'm not firing Brian Johnson. But get Frank Reich in here. He's an Eagle. He helped this team win a championship, a Super Bowl championship. And maybe because he helped teach Sirianni offense, that he was the head coach and Sirianni was the coordinator, maybe he can see something we can't. Sometimes there are people like, I'm going to use a weird analogy. You know, if you ever learned a recipe from someone, okay, and you're cooking, and you taste it, you're like, ah, it's good. I think I did a good job. And then the person who taught you the recipe comes in like, you need a little bit more of this. And they're probably, they have a unique perspective. They can pick up on that little thing you missed. Maybe touch more salt, you know, touch more oregano, whatever it is. A little cumin if we're doing something with a little kick to it, whatever. And they sense it. They say, throw a little bit more of that in and you're golden. And that might, you know, it could be as simple as that. It could be that Sirianni's not seeing where he's going wrong in terms of sequencing, in terms of setting things up, in terms of the short game, whatever. Get Frank Reich in here. I think it could help the Eagles and get this offense back on track. The second thing that stands out to me as something that could help the Eagles offense is they got to take the easy ones. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, put up a really interesting breakdown yesterday of the Eagles on first down, specifically Jalen Hurts on first down and what he is not doing right now. Where he's really faltering right now, and that is trying to take the big play on first down instead of taking the easy play on first down or even third down. But generally, there's been plays this year, a lot you saw in the San Francisco game, and you saw some last week, where he's taken the shot play down the field instead of taking the easy one. You know, Tom Brady, for 20 years, took the easy one. I say this all the time. I said it during the Carson Wentz era. I'll say it again right now. You cannot find a Tom Brady highlight throw. You just can't. I mean, it's because it's the same throw over and over and over and over and again for 20 years. There's no whirl around, run around, you know, point someone, throw it down the field. He never did that because he took the gimme. And if you take the gimme, 8, 10, 9, 11, and 7, 6, 5, whatever the number is of the yardage you throw in the football, and then you throw it accurately on time and in rhythm, you'll give your receiver a chance a lot of times to add 3, 4, 5, 6 yards on average a yard after catch. And all of a sudden, your numbers at the end of the day look just like the guys that are bombing it down the field. That's what Tom Brady did. There are plays to be made, simple ones. Take the gimmies while they figure everything else out. I think it's become an issue for this offense, and Jalen Hurts is not doing enough of that. Not enough as the weeks have gone on. That's number two.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Number three, I think they need to incorporate, and I was talking to Tucker about this last night a little bit. I'm sure next time we do a video pod, he'll mention it as well. The slants, West Coast concepts, simple stuff. They are really a high-level team when it comes to throwing slants. I think Jalen throws the slant really well because he throws a very catchable football. A.J. Brown, with his body control, his size, his strength, Anquan Boldin-ish is as difficult to stop on a slant, I think, as anyone in the NFL because he's fast enough to make the cut and get in front of you. And if you want to try to body through him, well, he's too big. It's like boxing out. And you've seen it, and we saw it against the 49ers, that the slant route really works for the Eagles. They're getting really high success rate off the slant route. They just don't throw it enough. Again, a lot of these concepts they're trying, it's down the field. A little motion and a flat route where Devontae could catch the ball and turn up the field before he gets rocked, that could work. Devontae Smith is a really skilled wide receiver, and it feels like the only time they're asking him to use that skill is down the field where he's doing like a double or triple move, like a corner post, and he's coming back to the middle, or post corner and go back to the corner. Those are slow developing routes, take a long time. And then all of a sudden the quarterback's either bailing or he's running out of the pocket, and you never get to see the fruits of the labor there really take hold. So that is something that they could change. Some more short, simple routes, especially when they feel blitz. There's still no answers to this, to the blitz. I mean, the Cowboys, you saw that the play a couple nights ago in Dallas where the Eagles had the 4th and 9, or I think it was 4th and 9, or maybe 4th and 7 or 4th and 9, and they throw to Devontae on the crosser. That's the blitz beater 7 yards in front of the sticks, and you're basically forcing Devontae Smith to try to, make a man miss to have a shot at a first down. Nothing past the marks, nothing quick. It really was a disheartening kind of fourth down play because it told me they didn't have the answers. They didn't have the correct answers to this test here. So I really think that is something they could do a lot better, is have answers to the blitz, get the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands quicker, and it very simple defined plays. I think sometimes it's like this stubborn thing where we don't have to do it like they do it. We're going to do it our way. Well, no, take something from the offenses that are working. Dak Prescott gets the ball at 1-2, boom. It was really eye-opening watching the Cowboys on Sunday night against the Eagles because they kept talking about how Dak has learned to the point where it's 1-2, boom. Get it out or run. Get it out or scramble. And the Eagles aren't doing that as much. They have the weapons. They have a talented quarterback. It shouldn't be this hard to, number one, beat the blitz. Number two, get the ball out of their hands. It should not. It really should not be this hard to do that. All right, the next thing that hits me as we've gone through these, Frank Reich, take the easy one. Some more slants, West Coast concepts. I'm going to throw this one in. They need to use DeAndre Swift more in the passing game. As we go through the years, it may end up being a Jalen Hurts problem that he's not comfortable throwing the football to running backs. But I have to imagine he could figure this out. I have to imagine he could. Carson Wentz was an accurate quarterback, and they got the ball to running backs early in his career in the screen game because Doug Peterson prioritized it. He prioritized, I think, back to the end of the 2019 season when they went from 5-7 to 9-7 and won the division. And how many of those yards, how many of those completions, how many of those drives were spearheaded by plays and screen passes to the running back? That's when Boston Scott became a thing. I mean, they really found a way to move the football without wide receivers that season. And Doug Peterson got a lot of credit. Now, they have brilliant wide receivers right now and an outstanding tight end who just came back from an injury. But DeAndre Swift was acquired for a reason. And it wasn't to be a bell cow running back through the tackle. Let's be real about it. He was acquired to be a weapon. And I think as a runner, when you look in totality, Swift's given them what you can't ask for more. It's like 4.7 yards a carry. He said 4 or 5 really big games. Other ones are fine. I mean, this is who DeAndre Swift is, but what he hasn't given enough of is explosion in the passing game. Now, Hurts has missed him a couple times. I think of the game against Washington earlier this year. Wheel route up the sideline, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Hurts misses him. So there's been some shots there that could end up being 70-yard passes, but they got to come back to that. There is a weapon here that is being underutilized in the passing game. And again, that's the kind of play where it goes from, you know, second and nine to boom, first down. And it feels like you don't even have to do anything, like not light lifting. And you get a first down because you dump it off to him or you screen it to him and he makes a big play. They got to get DeAndre Swift involved more here in the pass game because he's too good at being a receiving back to not. And my last thing is, and I know this goes against what the Eagles do, it goes against the numbers, but they got to think about this because at some point, you know, hitting your head against the wall over and over again and pretend it's not going to hurt, it's silly, okay? And it's silly right now, the concept of how the Eagles are playing with this defense. If they win the toss on Monday night against Seattle, I'm taking the football. If they win the toss against Dallas in the playoffs, I'm taking the football. If they win the toss against Seattle in the playoffs, I'm taking the football. If they want to kick against the Falcons in the first round, cool. You know, kick it, stop them, get the ball back, and create maybe the extra possession down the line. But the reality is, they're going down in every game. They're going down in every game because their defense is very good. They're in a hole. And if they could figure out something on offense, they feel like they have a good plan. Take the ball first, go down, and get a lead. 106-50. 106-50 has been the score at halftime last 6 weeks. They haven't had a lead at halftime since the Phillies were alive in the playoffs. I mean, think about that for a second. It's been a long time. It's Christmas in a week or so. They got to get a lead in one of these games. And here's what's ruining this. Well, you know, we'll win the four-minute thing in front of the half, behind the half. You know, we'll get the ball after halftime. We'll double up. They've given up the most points in the NFL in the last 2 minutes of a half. Okay, so this whole idea they're trying to do, it's being destroyed because their defense isn't good enough right now. So I think you take the ball first, create a plan, swift, slants, you know, quick routes. Jalen gets the ball out of his hands quicker. Maybe a scoring drive starts us off. And then, boom, you get yourself an opportunity to get a lead early. Then you put your defense out there. I really do think it could change a lot of stuff going on with this Eagles team. They need a lead because, as we've seen the last 2 weeks, trying to come from behind against good teams is a fool's errand week in and week out. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, and following WIP Daily. My thoughts, my ideas, my theories, my manifesto to fix the Eagles offense. Appreciate you listening. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.